We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Love a good deal? Sail into the season at Banana Republic Factory's Mega Labor Day Sale. Entire store 50 to 70% off. Dresses from $19.99, polos from $16.99. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RV32 Preseason Team Preview Series. My name is Mike Randall. You can follow me at RandallRant on Twitter. Today is the Detroit Lions preview of the 2018 #RV32 Team Preview Series, a special edition of RotoViz Radio. I'll be joined in just a few moments by Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. But before we get started, I want to let all of you know that as a listener to this podcast, you can save yourself 30% on a RotoViz NFL pass at rotoviz.com/podcast. The subscription will give you access to all of the NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. Go to rotoviz.com to check out the site. Again, our guest today is Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. In this episode, he talks about the Lions' revamped offensive line, whether the Lions' backfield is a true three-headed monster, as most fantasy owners believe, and how the departure of Eric Ebron and emergence of Kenny Golladay will affect the target distribution. After the interview, we'll take a few minutes to think about what Dave said and take a closer look at the Lions' offense using some of the great apps at RotoViz. And now, let's bring on the guest. We are pleased to welcome to the RV32 RotoViz Radio Team Preview Series, Dave Burkett. Dave is a Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. Dave joins us for a few minutes on the RV32 Preview Series to talk about the Lions. Dave, thanks for a few minutes today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Fantastic. So let's start. The Lions had a coaching change right at the top with the hiring of Matt Patricia as the head coach. He brings with him 20 years of coaching experience between college and the pros, and the past 14 seasons he's been with the New England Patriots. He brought in Paul Pasqualoni to be the defensive coordinator and kept some stability by retaining Jim Bob Cooter as the offensive coordinator. How have things looked so far at training camp, and what is different about the team under Patricia so far?
It's definitely different. I mean, you know, just the way they go about their business in training camp, I think, is the thing that struck most people. There's, look, Matt Patricia has had these guys in pads a lot. You know, he wants to have a physical team. So he's trying to build that toughness in the guys. And you can see that in some of the drills they do. And that's, look, when Jim Caldwell was coaching the team, you know, they practiced for an hour and 45 minutes, and Jim was very conscious about taking care of his player's body. under Matt Patricia, the Lions are out on the field for 2.5 hours, and you know it's a little bit more physical work. He wants to install a different mentality. He wants to have a tougher team, a team that's better in the run game. We'll see how that plays out over the course of the season and what that does to players' bodies, though, as well.
You know, one of those major improvements personnel-wise occurred with the physicality on the offensive line. The line struggled last year in pass protection. They allowed 47 sacks and 199 pressures. Center Graham Glasgow stood out last season, but the rest of the line was suffering with some injuries and it was sort of in and out. Taylor Decker looks to be back 100% to start the year. He missed 8 games last year. And the Lions, of course, drafted promising Arkansas center Frank Ragnow in the first round of the draft. For an offensive line that struggled in pass blocking and you know, for a run game that's really struggled to get sort of to the top of the NFL echelon there, do you think these improvements will produce the best all-around offensive line that Detroit's had in quite some time?
I think it's all about the health up front there. You know, you mentioned that Taylor Decker missed half the season last year. TJ Lang and Rick Wagner were in and out of the lineup, kind of beat up with some injuries. You know, Glasgow was the only guy that played every single snap on the offense. And so, look, if they can keep those guys healthy, you throw Ragnow in the mix, they've got a pretty good front, you know, pretty talented front. They've invested a lot of resources in it. Taylor Decker was a first-round pick, Ragnow a first-round pick, Glasgow a third-rounder, you know, and they spent pretty big on Lang and Wagner in free agency. So they certainly made the investment in there, and I think they have a little more depth, too, in case something does happen. But, you know, we're still seeing that this is – it's still a little bit of a work in progress right now. I mean, a little bit of a new scheme. Again, they want to be tougher and more physical in the run game. Some of those guys maybe aren't quite as built for that. So I'm hopeful. I think they have the potential to be good up front. But I think there's a lot of ifs right now that have to go well for that to happen.
Now, we've heard great things about Ragnow, but it looks like they're going to move him to guard. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's going to play left guard for them, and you're right. He's had a really good camp so far. I know there are a lot of teams behind the Lions in the draft that liked Ragnow and maybe would have taken him, the Cincinnati Bengals, New England Patriots, and Minnesota Vikings. But I can tell you that, you know, the Lions are extremely thrilled with what he's shown so far. And as a rookie, you know, he looks like he's got a really bright future ahead of him.
With such a potentially strong offensive line, we turn our attention to the running backs, of course. Lions have struggled in short yardage situations. You know, your third and short, fourth and short as well. So they signed 31-year-old LeGarrette Blount, and he should address those concerns. They also spent a second-round pick on the versatile Kerryon Johnson from Auburn. And, of course, they have the prolific pass-catching running back Theo Riddick as well. Do you handicap this run game as a true three-headed monster, or do you see Kerryon Johnson maybe sort of developing into the main running back early in the season?
Well, you know, I'll take Patricia at his word in the fact that, you know, he says you need to have more than one running back to succeed in the NFL, and I do think Blount and Theo Riddick will have roles, but look, you don't trade up to get a running back in round two unless you plan to use him and really think a lot of them. And, you know, I've mentioned this before in some of the things I've written, that the last five running backs that teams have traded up to get in the first three rounds of the draft are Melvin Gordon, Alvin Kamara, Delvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, and now Kerryon Johnson. So if Johnson can, you know, approximate what those guys are, the Lions will be really happy. And I do think by the end of the year, you'll see him playing, you know, the bulk of the snaps in the backfield.
100%. He can make a huge, huge impact. The Lions are very talented on offense. They have a strong group of receivers as well. Marvin Jones and Golden Tate lead the way. They both had excellent campaigns in 2017. Tate had his fourth consecutive season of 90-plus receptions, and Jones was amazingly efficient. He had 9 TDs on just the 61 catches. Former first-round selection tight end Eric Ebron is now in Indianapolis, so that vacates 86 targets. And everyone is wondering about Kenny Golladay and what that impact is going to be as well. Now, they did bring in Luke Wilson, who's very reliable from Seattle. So how do you see those Ebron targets being distributed? And what do you think the Kenny Golladay effect will be as the season goes on?
Look, I'm really high on the Lions offensive skill players. I think Kerryon Johnson, Kenny Golladay, I think those guys are both going to be really good in time. And I look, it wouldn't surprise me if Golden Tate's going to be who he is. He's going to catch 80 or 90 passes. That's what he's done every single year in Detroit. And Marvin Jones is, you know, he's routinely getting behind defensive backs. We saw it in joint practices with the Oakland Raiders, and we've seen it, you know, going against his own guys in Detroit, though him and Darius Slay have a pretty good matchup. But I think Kenny Golladay and what he brings to this offense can be a little something special. I mean, he's a big guy. He knows how to use his body. He's going to be a red zone target. He's going to take a lot of those looks that went to Eric Ebron. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Lions have three wide receivers who, you know, have 60 or more catches this year. I just think all three of those guys, as long as they stay healthy, are in for pretty big years.
So, Dave, you're not concerned with Galladay sort of affecting Marvin Jones. You really see him as taking the Ebron targets and Jones being able to maintain his production that he had last year.
Yeah, I think the Lions are going to play a lot of three wide receiver this year. You know, they used a lot of two tight end sets last year. I don't think they'll do that quite as much. You will see them use a little bit of, you know, two back. They have a fullback on the roster now. But I think Kenny Galladay, I think he and Marvin Jones complement each other well enough. Jones just being a great deep threat that they can both be on the field at the same time and both sort of eat from the same plate.
You know, turning our attention to the defense, they were okay last year, but again, battled some injuries. They have some big-time defensive stars, Ziggy Ansah and, of course, Darius Slay. They spent a third-round pick on safety Tracy Walker and a fourth-round pick on defensive end Deshaun Hand. How do you see the defense sort of coming together here in a very tough NFC North in year one under Paul Pasqualoni?
Yeah, that's the biggest question on the team right now is still, you know, what's that defense, you know, not only going to look like, I guess, but you know, how are they going to get pressure on quarterbacks? You know, Darius Slay, I think he's a bona fide star at cornerback, and I think he's a really good player, but there's a lot of question marks beyond him. And they have some depth in the secondary, but up front they're counting on Ziggy Ansah to provide most of that pass rush. And look, he's been hurt the last 2 years, hasn't been extremely consistent. I know he had 12 sacks last year, but you know, nine of those came in three games, and hey, they all count the same, right? You get 12 at the end of the day, but the Lions need a little more consistency out of their pass rush. And maybe a little more variety. I mean, they're going to blitz Devon Kennard. You know, they're a strong side linebacker that they added. You'll see them do some different things with their defensive backs and linebackers in terms of bringing pressure. But I just don't know that they have enough depth and playmakers up front, you know, to be a top half of the NFL defense.
So we really appreciate a few minutes, Dave. Last question, then we'll get you out of here. The Lions have been above 500 in three of the last four seasons. They have a very difficult schedule this year, particularly in the beginning of the schedule. They go to San Francisco. They have the Patriots, Cowboys, and of course, all the games within division, Packers, Vikings, and an improved Bears team as well. Las Vegas has their over-under win total right at that 7.5 number. You're the expert on the Lions. How do you see the first year of the Matt Patricia regime ending, and do you possibly see a playoff trip for this Lions team?
I'd take over on 7.5, but only slightly. I mean, I think they can be in the playoff mix at the end of the day, but I think they'll ultimately end up, you know, maybe in the same situation they were last year, the last couple of years, right around that 8 or 9 win mark. I mean, you look at the NFC North, to me, when you have Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers are always going to be, you know, a Super Bowl contender. I think the Vikings are legitimate. I mean, that a defense, one of the best in the league, plus all the weapons they have on offense, Kirk Cousins at quarterback. I think the Lions, I think offensively they can match up with anybody. Maybe they have a more complete team than the Packers, but I think there's too many cracks in defense right now, and maybe still a couple questions about that offensive line. And I think those things are going to ultimately keep them out of the playoffs in year one of the Matt Patricia era.
Well, Dave, we can't thank you enough. That's Dave Burkett, who's a Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. Certainly follow him, and he's got some great insight there on Twitter at Dave Burkett. Dave, thanks so much for a few minutes on the Lions. Obviously, we're very interested here in the fantasy community. This is a team that we really think can have a big impact, and we appreciate your insight here on the RV32 Team Preview Series.
Happy to do it. We'll talk to you again.
That was Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. When we return, we'll take a few minutes to consider what he said. As you know, the NFL season is quickly approaching. Get ready for it with a subscription to a RotoViz NFL Pass, which you can get right now for 30% off. This discount is for listeners of the podcast only, and it's available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. Again, be sure to get your 30% discount for an NFL pass at rotoviz.com/podcast.
Hey, sports fans, football season's here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. MyBookie is the industry-leading sports betting website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or even fantasy points props. MyBookie lets you bet online and win big. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has in-game live betting on every major league and event. even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Go to MyBookie to open an account and start winning. Use promo code CHAMPION when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Bet today. Visit MyBookie's website or call 844-866-2387. That's 844-866-2387. Check them out today and use promo code CHAMPION for a 100% bonus. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
We thank Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press for hopping on the podcast for a few minutes to talk about the Lions. He gave us some great insight there on the playmakers and also some of the less well-known parts of the Lions, like the offensive line. And that's really an area that the Lions have targeted for improvement in 2018. That's where I want to start. You know, they really struggled in both run blocking and pass blocking last season. Lions ranked last in the league, only 1,221 rushing yards, and they allowed 199 pressures and almost 3 sacks per game. Now, they made some nice additions to the offensive line prior to last year. Right guard TJ Lang came over from the Packers, and right tackle Rick Wagner came over from the Ravens, and those were good investments as they became the Lions' best pass protectors. However, Detroit did struggle on the ground and averaged only 3.35 rushing yards, which was the fewest in the NFL. Even more important, according to Warren Sharp, on outside zone runs, which is what Detroit does most frequently, they averaged just 0.45 yards before contact, which was 6th lowest in the NFL. So when they were trying to run something outside, they were getting hit right away. However, the Lions did recognize this issue, and they made it a priority in the NFL draft. They drafted Arkansas center Frank Ragnow, who Dave talked about and everyone in Lions camp is raving about, with the 20th overall pick in the first round. And they took tackle Terrell Crosby from Oregon in the 5th round, and then they took bruising blocking fullback Nick Bowden in the 7th round from San Diego State. Now, unfortunately, Bowden tore his ACL in training camp, and he's going to miss the entire season, but that theme was there. Now, the Lions recognized the offensive line was a weakness, and they made it a priority to address it in the offseason through both free agency and the draft. Their current line projects as follows. Taylor Decker, who returned from a torn labrum, is going to come back to his starting spot. Frank Ragnow's not going to start at center. He's going to start at left guard. Graham Glasgow, who graded out very well last year according to Pro Football Focus, will start this year as the center. Right guard TJ Lang and right tackle Rick Wagner. So I feel this is the best offensive line Detroit has produced in quite some time, and it should function well in both the passing and the running game. So upgrading that offensive line really was key. Next, we talked to Dave about that running back situation and whether he thought it really was going to be a three-headed monster slash running back by committee. He reminded us that Matt Patricia said in his press conference that he follows the Bill Belichick philosophy that you do need more than one running back. But what's interesting is that Bill Belichick philosophy also produces tremendous running back fantasy production every season, particularly at the goal line. LeGarrette Blount, who is with Bill Belichick in New England, was leading the league in touchdowns on multiple seasons. Stephen Ridley was fantasy relevant there. Last year, Rex Burkhead was relevant. Then he got injured. Deion Lewis came in. So figuring out exactly how this backfield is going to perform, I think, is a key to fantasy success this season. And the app I'm going to do that with is the RotoViz Projection Machine on rotoviz.com. Great suite of apps. The Projection Machine under the Fantasy Football Draft Prep tab is tremendous. And what I could do is look back over the last 5 years at the number of rushing attempts that the Lions have averaged. Now, if we go back to 2013, they had 483 rushing attempts and 634 passing attempts. Just tremendous play production that year. But their rushing attempts have dropped. They went to 396 in 2014, then 354, then 350. Last year, they're back up a little bit to 363. So I'm going to project them for a little bit over 400 rushing attempts this year. I think they're going to crack that barrier for the first time since 2013. I'll put them right around the 430 rushing mark. And if you look at the rushing attempts, Matt Stafford always takes a few. Last year, Stafford actually rushed on 8% of the total attempts. I think as he gets older here, they're going to want to try to keep him from injury, so I put him down at 6%. For Theo Riddick, who is the satellite back, in the past, Theo Riddick has usually received almost one quarter of their rushing attempts. Last 3 years, Theo Riddick has had 25% of the rushing attempts, 25% and 23%. So I'll put him at 24% of the rushing attempts, which is 103 rushing attempts on the season. Now, LeGarrette Blount is old. He's 31 years old. He's pretty much going to be a goal line and short yardage specialist. So I don't see him getting a tremendous share of the rushing attempts. I'm going to put him at 86 rushing attempts. He'll get a few sprinkled in. Maybe there's positive game script and they want to kill the clock like you used to in New England. So I have 103 rushing attempts for Theo Riddick, only 86 for LeGarrette Blount, which of course means that I see rookie Kerryon Johnson getting 50% of the rushing attempts. I think Kerryon Johnson is going to hit that 200 mark. I have him at 215 rushing attempts on the season. Drafted him early in the second round out of Auburn. He profiles as a talented running back who can catch it and run with it. He's 6 foot, 213-pound running back, so he's big, sort of an upright runner. I think they're going to feed him the ball, and he certainly could get some of the goal line work as well. So if we look at the total yards, I have Theo Riddick projected for 351 rushing yards. I have LeGarrette Blount for 267, and I have Kerryon Johnson for 882. So I don't think any of these running backs are going to crack 1,000 yards. I think Patricia is telling the truth, like Dave said. I do think that Johnson's going to take the lead role. Looking at rushing touchdowns, I think LeGarrette Blount is safe for 5 rushing touchdowns. I can see him getting that goal line work. I could also see him getting with Kerryon Johnson. So I'm going to give Blount 5 rushing touchdowns. Riddick always gets some here and there. He had three last year, one the year before, so I'll give him 2 this year, and I'll give Kerryon Johnson 8 rushing touchdowns. So that's how I think it's going to be split. I think when they get in close, they're certainly going to run the ball. They're built with a solid offensive line. They've committed to it. They want to get better at short yardage. So I see those 3 running backs being a running back by committee. But if you had to pick one, certainly I'm going to go with Kerryon Johnson, because Theo Riddick's not going to get a ton of between the tackles runs, and LeGarrette Blount's not going to catch a lot of passes, but Kerryon Johnson is the most well-rounded back there. As far as the receptions, Theo Riddick to me is a lock for at least 70 receptions in this offense. Last 3 years, he's had 71, 67 he had in 2016, but only played in 10 games, and he had 99 in 2015. So I have 74 receptions for Theo Riddick this year for 619 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's had 2. He had 2 last year. He had 5 the year before. But with Kerryon Johnson there getting some of the receptions, I see that touchdown number coming down a little bit. And Kerryon Johnson, I think, will be solid. I have 48 receptions for him, 318 yards, and 1 receiving touchdown. So that's how I sort of handicap the backfield breaking down. Riddick has that solid role in the 2-minute drill and the priority passing down situations. They're not going to give Kerryon Johnson the ball right away and start rushing him 15 times a game. I see them working him in here and there. Blount is the short yardage back, but they want to develop one of these runners to be a player that's on the field and who doesn't telegraph what's going to happen. So Riddick isn't great between the tackles. His yards per carry have never been good. Last 5 years, 2.8, 2.6, 3.1, 4.0, and 3.0 yards per attempt. So he's not a great between the tackles runner. Kerryon Johnson can really fit both of those roles. So if you're going to draft one, I think he's the way to go. And I certainly see him getting a little bit over 200 rushing attempts and still catching, I don't know, 45 to 50 passes. And then the last thing I want to talk about and take a closer look at, and I'm going to use the RotoViz Game Splits app, which is probably my favorite one, is the reception breakdown between Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, and of course, Kenny Golladay coming forward. Now, we mentioned that Eric Ebron, tight end, who really did not work out there. He was kind of a bust in not so many words. When you spend a early first round pick on a tight end, and he's no longer on your team anymore and doesn't make it out of that first contract, that certainly is a frustrating thing. But he leaves 86 targets. Luke Wilson comes over from Seattle, where he's been for 5 years, and the amount of receptions that he's had in that time, 20, 22, 17, 15, and 15. So I don't see Luke Wilson coming into this explosive offense with 3 running backs who are all going to be involved in the offense and these receivers who are extremely accomplished and have been very productive in both NFL actual football and fantasy football as well over the last several years. I just don't see Luke Wilson coming in and taking a dominant part of the reception. So what I'm focusing on here is Marvin Jones versus Golden Tate versus Kenny Golladay. Golden Tate, as Dave mentioned, is going to produce. Last 4 years, he's had over 90 receptions each of those 4 seasons. He's had over 1,000 receiving yards in 3 of those 4 seasons. Now, the touchdowns aren't high with Golden Tate. He's had 4, 6, 4, and 5 respectively. But I certainly think he is safe for at least 80 receptions, which makes him a very viable wide receiver 2 in PPR formats. So his role for the short to intermediate routes is safe. But the issue is Marvin Jones versus Kenny Golladay. Now, Dave talks about how both of them can produce while being on the field at the same time. I have my doubts on that. If you use the RotoViz Game Splits app and you look last season at Golladay's rookie year, there were 11 games that Marvin Jones played with Golladay and 5 he played without. When Golladay was not on the field and Jones was by himself, he averaged 5 more PPR points per game. 17.5 fantasy PPR points per game when Kenny Golladay did not play and only 12.49 when he did. Receptions for Marvin Jones, 5.4 without Golladay, 3.0 with Kenny Golladay. Only 3 receptions. Touchdowns were about the same. So he was productive in the end zone and is a red zone target there for Matt Stafford, regardless of whether Galladay's there, which is interesting because Golladay does profile as a dangerous receiver in the end zone. His targets went down from 9.8 to 5.2. And of course, one of the biggest surprises, his receiving yards. Marvin Jones averaged 85.4 receiving yards per game when Kenny Golladay did not play last year. That projects, folks, to 1,366 receiving yards, which absolutely is a wide receiver one, even with below average touchdown production. And with Golladay, only 61.27. And I think that's a decision that you have to make in your redraft leagues. Golden Tate right now is the first Detroit receiver off the board. He's going in round 4, wide receiver 19. Shortly after him, Marvin Jones is going, usually by the end of round 5, he is wide receiver 26. And then Kenny Golladay does not come off the board on average in PPR formats until roughly round 13. He is wide receiver 58. So if you're looking for value, if you're looking for one of those three who's going to outproduce that, unless Golladay gets injured, I don't see how he doesn't blow by that wide receiver 58 round 13 ADP. I think that that's tremendous value. And listen, Marvin Jones last year, the 9 touchdowns on 61 receptions, that is almost unsustainable efficiency. So I would take a look at Golladay. I think his price is right in redraft. I know dynasty leaguers are looking at him, but if he stays healthy for 16 games, I don't see why, according to that Game Splits app on RotoViz, I don't see why Marvin Jones is producing more than his average, which was 3 receptions on 5 targets, 61 receiving yards. I don't see it. And that projects to a little under 1,000 yards. And that projects to about 49 receptions and, you know, maybe 7 or 8 touchdowns. That's not going to be wide receiver 2 material. It's going to be sort of fringe wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3. But where you're drafting him, you're going to be disappointed with that, which is why I would sort of look at Golladay. But no doubt, Dave agrees, their offense is explosive. There's a lot of fantasy value here as long as you handicap it right. And that's going to do it for the Lions episode of the 2018 hashtag RV32 RotoViz Radio Team Preview Series. Again, our guest today was Dave Burkett of the Detroit Free Press. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. My name is Mike Randall. You can follow me on Twitter at Randall Rant. Please make sure to stay tuned. We're going through these teams in the NFL preview series, and we're going to have a ton more coming up in the next few weeks. So certainly stay ready for that. Listen to the podcast and follow the pod on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the 2018 RotoViz Radio Team Preview Series. Our assistant executive producer is Colin Kelly, and our executive producer is Matthew Friedman. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Decoy Wines of Sonoma, California. As you gather with family and friends this summer, experience the best of wine country with Decoy by Duckhorn. Winemaker Tyson Wolf spends every vintage focused on harvesting grapes and crafting wines from the finest vineyards. Whether it's our flagship Cabernet or crisp and refreshing Rosé, Decoy has just the wine for your discerning taste. Ask for us at your local wine shop or visit decoywines.com/celebrate to locate our wines near you. Whether you're firing up the grill, hosting an alfresco get-together, or enjoying the warm summer nights, let Decoy by Duckhorn elevate your occasion.
Love a good deal? Sail into the season at Banana Republic Factory's Mega Labor Day Sale. Entire store 50 to 70% off. Dresses from $19.99. Polos from $16.99. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure four-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each four-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour four-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.